Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with my colleague, Mike Morial. Mike, how are you?
Very good, Adam. Hope you and your family are doing well. Glad we can get back together for another show this week and another special guest.
Absolutely. We're going to have another first time ever. I think we're doing this in all USHL / college hockey show. We're going to talk to Greg Rajanin from NHL Central Scouting. He's the guru of that region, that area. But, you know, it's fun to talk about these guys, but it feels like there should be someplace else we should be doing it from. This is the week we always get excited for. It's the annual NHL Scouting Combine. All the top players, all the scouts, a lot of the managers, the media, everybody's there. We congregate in Buffalo. We have a great week. It's a fun week of work, catching up with friends, getting to meet the players, getting to spend some quality time around the players, quality time around the scouts. It's a little bittersweet to be talking about the draft knowing where we could or should be this week.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. As you mentioned there, you know, it's such a fun event, the Combine. I think that we can both agree that, you know, having the opportunity to chat with all the prospects, and there are a little over 100 that are invited to the Combine, North American and European skaters, and just having the opportunity to talk with them, learn about their lives, their upbringing, how hockey became such an important part of their life, is always something that intrigues both of us. We enjoy doing. And then just having the opportunity to watch and view these prospects go through, you know, murderer's row, so to speak, with all the exercises and testing that they have to do. The bike tests are always fun to watch and something that fans kind of gravitate and look for videos and talk about. And it's always a special time for the two of us, no doubt about it. Something we certainly missed this year.
Yeah, it feels like somebody should be yelling faster at me as we do the podcast. And if you've seen any of the Combine videos that we've done in the past, that's sort of how the trainers handle the kids on the bike test. But, you know, this would have been the 13th Combine for me. I think it's the same number for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Every year there's an adventure, there's a memory, whether it was in, you know, we started at this little hotel ballroom behind the Toronto airport, the Bristol Westin, and then we've moved around to a few other places. Now it's in this big, beautiful Harbor Center facility in Buffalo. I remember just when we started that first year, there was maybe a half a dozen media people there watching the kids do the workouts and talking to them in the lobby. And then last year when we were there, there was what? five dozen media members from all over, you know, making up all 31. Would have been 32 this year with the Seattle guys coming. I'm sure they would have had some sort of presence there. There's no shortage of great memories or great stories, at least for me. You know, the random general manager paid for our dinner one night at 716. I'll leave his name out of it, so, you know, no favorites are played. We love all our GMs, but we love the one who paid for our dinner maybe a little bit more. What are some of your favorite memories from the years we've been going to the Combine? Other than people screaming at you on the exercise bike.
Well, yeah, the paying of the meal was certainly a special memory and one I'll never forget. Cool. No doubt about it. That's a good one there, Adam. But back at the 2017 Combine, I remember having a discussion with New Jersey Devils Director of Team and Player Development, Dr. Amy Kimball, about the way New Jersey questions potential prospects during the interviewing phase. One example she gave me will still stick with me forever. When I asked her about Nico Hischier, she gave me, I think, the response of the year. Kimball is a sports psychologist who does a lot of the questioning at the Combine for the Devils. And, you know, she's doing the same thing now, actually, on the Zoom calls of prospects this summer. But she gave Hischier a fictitious scenario to ultimately elicit a pretty funny response. Kimball knew Hischier was headed to watch Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final that year between the Penguins and the Predators at Bridgestone Arena, and she proposed a fake deal. She said, if you throw a catfish on the ice, we'll pick you number one overall. Now, just to give the fans out there a little history, Nashville fans throw catfish on the ice as part of a tradition. It's something that has been around since 2003. I guess it was inspired by the Red Wings octopus stunt, but the throwing mostly happens before the end of the pregame Star Spangled Banner, since few people want to have a fish stuck to them for any longer than necessary. So some fans will hold off until maybe the Predators score a win. But back to Hischier, Kimball told me that he seemed to be thinking about that question for the rest of the interview. And after a few more questions, she began winding up the conversation and asked Heischer if he had any questions for her. And Heischer said, "Where can I buy a catfish?" I mean, how clever is that a response? And obviously, we all know, Adam, that Heischer went number one to the Devils less than a month later.
And just so, in case anybody was wondering, he went number one and he did not have to throw the catfish.
No.
Right? He did not have to throw the catfish. So it was not a condition on him being selected.
Nope.
I think for me, there's one that's really funny that stands out to me. And it was, you know, as a media member, we're sort of used to being kind of shunted off to the side a little bit. And I don't remember the exact year. The year was at the Toronto Congress Center. And John Ho, who works in the NHL IT department and helps with all the media setup as well, it said to us at breakfast, "Hey, we got to move you guys from where we had you set up." And I got a little upset, a little agitated. You know, we've done all this work and now we're getting, you know, felt lesser than, you know. He says, "Well," I said, "John, why are you moving us?" "Well, the TSN studio that they had built collapsed and a truss fell and took out the table where you guys were going to sit. So we thought it might be a better idea to move you." Suddenly I wasn't as upset, but there's two other scenes, and one we talked about back in January when we lost our friend John McGurdy, and my image of the combine will always be capped by John McGurdy sitting on a couch in the lobby of the Westin Hotel with two prospects on one side of him, two prospects on the other, doing four interviews all at the same time. I'll just, you know, I'm just watching in amazement as that went on. But the other is EJ McGuire, and every year EJ would set up. There was this beautiful grand piano in the lounge at the hotel, and EJ would set up on the top of the piano, all his papers and his chair and whatever he needed to get him through the day. And I said to him, "EJ, you run Central Scouting. Why are you have an office. Why are you sitting out here on a piano?" He goes, "I want to be seen. I want the players to know I'm available. I want the scouts to know I'm available. I want the managers to know I'm available. If there's any issues, I want them to see me." And EJ, you know, we all have our wonderful memories of EJ, who was one of the most wonderful people we've known at the NHL. That was his mindset. And to me, that was always something that stood out to me about EJ. The combine was his event. He'd go to the NFL combine every year to kind of take ideas to bring back to the NHL combine. And he was always public and out there and available for anyone who ever needed him. And he would talk and talk and talk. And he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal with everybody.
Yeah, it's very hard, right, Adam, not to discuss the combine and not remember EJ McGuire. He served as NHL Director of Central Scouting for 7 years before passing of cancer in April 2011. And in fact, McGuire and Mr. Jim Gregory will always remain in the hearts and minds of those, you know, when the combine comes around and every NHL draft. And just a quick note, I mean, I was just thinking about the combine in general, you know, thinking back, right, Adam, the past 15, 20 years, you know, you look back at that moment, there seemed like prospects were more overwhelmed, but now it's impressive how well the players get the support of their junior teams and the agents prepare them for this event. There used to be a time when all these prospects had that deer in the headlights look and were a little apprehensive when they got to the combine, but now they know what's coming. You know, they're very respectful and they know what to say and how to answer questions. And it's just a fun event. It's too bad it didn't happen this year, but we look forward to many more combines in the future.
Yeah, we could wax poetic about combine memories for a long time. That could take up the whole show. But let's get back to what we were going to talk about, and let's bring in Greg Rajanin from NHL Central Scouting. Greg, let's start with the important question. How are you, and how has the family been holding up without any hockey?
Well, it's different, certainly. You're getting a lot more exercise in and a lot of more walking and biking and so forth, so that the waistline has gone down a little bit, but most importantly, we're following all the rules that the governor and the mayors have put on us. And if you follow the rules, you usually end up in a good place.
Oh, that's a good thing. So let's start with the highest rated, you know, college player on the list, Dylan Holloway, number 12 on the final ranking. He was supposed to be part of this juggernaut at Wisconsin this season. The team didn't have the success that maybe it expected. But how do you separate Holloway's performance from whatever the team struggles were, and what did he show you this season?
Well, first of all, you have to remember he's playing against 24-year-olds at the college level, if you put them in Minnesota high school or the USHL or the CHL, you have to think that he'd be dominating even more. But I think with Wisconsin, their best players were their young players. They had a few number one picks that are young, and they got the majority of the power play time. And for Wisconsin, their best players are younger players, and for many teams at the college level, their best players are 23, 24, so you can see how they struggled a bit.
Yeah, Holloway, one of only two first-year draft eligibles to play NCAA Division I this year. Yonkits Netzoff of the University of Connecticut, the other. Among USHL rookies, though, Raj, over the past 15 years, only Jack Hughes and Jaden Schwartz had a better points-per-game average than Chicago's Brendan Brisson, who's number 20 on Central Scouting's final list. Brisson had a 1.31 points-per-game average. He was named the USHL Rookie of the Year after scoring 59 points in 45 games. What do you like about Brisson's game, and do you feel the University of Michigan is in a good spot for him next season?
Well, I mean, he's got all the elements there of being a high-end player, a really good skater in all directions and quick and tight. He makes plays in traffic, quick hands, quick release, moves the puck well. But probably most importantly, he's a smart player, high hockey IQ, and he knows how to slow the game down, which is hard for younger players. And when the game's on the line, he's the type of player that elevates his game. So that's probably what you can say about all the high-end players at every level.
In addition to Brisson, there are two other highly rated prospects from the Chicago Steel. Right wing Sam Colangelo, number 31. He's headed to Northeastern. And center Sean Farrell, number 62. He's going to Harvard next year. What do you like about each of them, Raj? And can you offer any comparables?
Well, Colangelo, he's comparable. Probably James Van Riemsdyk would be a comparable. You know, he came out of Lawrence Prep and out east, and that's a big jump from prep hockey to the USHL. And he really elevated his game. You know, they surrounded him with good, solid players. But he's a big kid who skates well, a shooter-first mentality. He can really release the puck quickly with pace and accuracy. And he can finish, which are high qualities in the game of hockey, as you know. And just really good offensive instincts. And there's just a lot of good upside in his game. He's a little bit raw at present, but got solid work habits, and so you assume he's going to get better.
Greg, we just talked about Brisson, Colangelo, Farrell, three of the six players from the Steel that are on the final rankings for goalies and skaters, and most of any USHL team. They've had six players drafted since 2017, tied for the third most among the USHL teams. What, if anything, are they doing different or special in Chicago to become this, for lack of a better term, this USHL juggernaut that's on the road to producing all this quality NHL talent?
It's all about scouting and development, right? And NHL all the way down. And they're scouting at 15-year-olds, where we're scouting 17-year-olds. So they're looking to draft players that can skate and puck play and are smart and compete and use their size, all the things that we look for as NHL scouts. They're doing it at the 15-year-old level. And, you know, they don't worry about the size, the physical size of a player, because they know that they can grow. But in today's game, in all honesty, there's a place for the smaller player with the NHL cracking down on hooking and grabbing and interference and so forth. So I think more than anything, they've had a good bank of players that they've drafted over the years, and their scouting and development is high end.
So I'm glad you mentioned smaller players, because that's the next guy I want to ask you about from Chicago. Gunnar Wolf-Fontaine, he's number 211 on the final ranking, and beyond being just an outstanding name, he got passed over in last year's draft. This year, as a 19-year-old, fifth in the U.S. League with 57 points, 5'8", 172 pounds, though. Was that the reason that maybe he got overlooked last season? And I guess the second half of that is, what has he done differently? Has he gotten bigger? Has he gotten stronger, or at least played bigger and stronger than last season that makes him, maybe NHL teams will take another look at him this year?
You know, he was a last time eligible draft, and those guys, we take into consideration the first and second year drafts first. So that's why he slid some for us, but he's a quicker than fast type player. That might have hurt him a little bit with it. You know, he doesn't really have that second gear, but really quick and elusive. And again, quick release, high energy, good feel for the game. And they surrounded him with really good puck moving players, which is his game. But I see someone possibly taking him in the late rounds, and again, putting him in their bank of players.
Yeah, Gunnar Wolf is committed to Northeastern next season. Moving on to defenseman Mitchell Miller of Tri-City, Raj, committed to North Dakota in 2021, number 49 in Central's final North American ranking. The highest rated D-man from the USHL. He was named USHL Defenseman of the Week four times in a six-week stretch in January and February. Finished tied for third in scoring among all USHL defensemen this season. What do you like about his game, and are there areas he needs to improve?
I think, first of all, it's his second year in the league, which was really beneficial. He got his nose dirty last year playing for Cedar Rapids and played for Tri-City this year. Just a strong mobile skater and, you know, dynamic game as far as skating the puck up the ice, and he can get it out of the defensive zone with either a pass or a skate, which is a huge quality, and moves the puck well, active defender, but he's got some toughness in his game. He will pop up the opponent and finishes his checks. Solid two-way defender. I think mostly for improvement with all the players, bigger, stronger, faster, but he's on a good development path here.
So let's shift to Muskegon and Daniil Gushin. He's number 41 on the list. Second season there, 47 points in 42 games. Had 3 goals in 6 games of the World Junior A Challenge. About the only knock on him is he's 5'8", but is there enough skill and speed there that the size won't be an issue as he moves forward?
I don't think size will be an issue with him personally. He plays bigger than 5'8". Really quick and a nice burst with the puck. Changes the pace with the puck. He can really snap the puck in traffic, which is a huge quality. He's just got subtle little fakes that he finds passing and shooting lanes. And I saw him at the World Junior Challenge. He was arguably one of the top players in the tournament. He elevated his game in that tournament for Russia. I think maybe a knock on him could be in the USHL that his compete level, game in, game out, is a little bit inconsistent, but again, that's something that, you know, he's got the high-end ability, and he knows how to elevate his game. So I think there's a good chance that he'll be playing in the NHL in the future.
Yeah, pretty interesting player there, Raj. Two interesting stats I actually learned about Gushin, too. Finished tied for most shorthanded goals with 3 and game-winning goals with 6 in the USHL this year. But a couple quick high school profiles here, Raj, if you don't mind, starting with Andover defenseman Wyatt Kaiser, headed to Minnesota Duluth, number 37 on the list, had 43 points in 31 games this year. What do you like about Kaiser?
Well, he's right in my backyard here in Minneapolis, and so I know him pretty well. Saw him in Dubuque, and he just fit right into them before the high school season. He played there, and then after went back to Dubuque. And he just plays a steady two-way game, plays player, smart, moves the puck. Again, one of those elusive defenders that you get in on him, and he can quickly escape and get away from you, and plays a firm game defending, and good vision, you know, poised with the puck, finding open mates. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about him is that sometimes they play in the USHL, come back to Minnesota high school, they change their game and try to do too much. and be a player that they're not. And he did not do that. He played the same steady game for Andover and led them to the state high school tournament. They got beaten the semifinals, I believe. But he's going to a really good college development program at Duluth. So I see him being a pretty high pick here out of Minnesota.
Hey, I've heard some NHL comparisons to Chicago defenseman Calvin DeHaan. So that's quite a compliment there. One player I'm really interested in here, Rog, center Blake Biondi, also headed to Minnesota Duluth. 95 points, 47 goals, and 31 games for Hermantown this season. Was the 2020 Minnesota Mr. Hockey Award winner as the outstanding senior high school boys hockey player in the state of Minnesota. I believe the first ever Hermantown player to earn that honor. And real good size, Rog, 6 foot, 191, is right-handed, 64 in the final list. A lot to like about his game, huh?
Yeah, no question. Again, one of those players that played in the USHL before the season, then went back to Hermantown, and just a strong power skater, goes to the net hard. Moving forward, his best position might be wing because he just comes off the wing so hard, and he can really snap the puck in stride, and he gets the puck on his stick, and it's so quick in transition. He's full speed in a heartbeat. Works in battles and contact areas and hungry around the net. And he was just kind of a man among boys in the high school season this year for Hermantown. And again, going to a good school, which bodes well for his development.
So let's go back to a little bit older players here. Alex LaFerriere made the jump to full-time in the USHL with Des Moines this season after playing mostly prep school last season. What did you think of Alex's development this season as it went along? 45 points in 42 games, and he's number 61 on the final ranking.
Yeah. Again, you know, that jump from high school to the USHL is not an easy one, and he stepped right in and played top 6 minutes for Des Moines. And I think the thing that I noticed most about him, he's so quick and tight with the puck, and he gets the puck on his stick and he's gone. He's faster with the puck than without. And quick hands, quick release, all those things, and gets his shot off in traffic. And he protects the puck so well and moves it so well. And I like his game. And the other thing is sometimes that the guys moving first time into the league, they don't quite understand how hard you have to pursue the puck to get it. And he was one of those guys that really went out after it. He wanted the puck on his stick, and most of the time he got it.
One more from me, Raj. Can you maybe give us a player on your radar who we didn't discuss today you feel might be a late-round flyer playing in the NHL maybe within, you know, I don't know, 4 years or so?
Yeah, I think the guy that, for me personally, is Trevor Kuntar from Youngstown. He's had 53 points in 44 games. He'd been through the draft once. He's one of those guys that can play on any one of your four lines. He's going to Harvard next year. Hard to play against. Competitive speed. In other words, when there's a loose puck, maybe he might not be the fastest with the puck, but when there's a loose puck, he gets it because he's so competitive. And he doesn't take shifts off. He helps his team win every shift. And just a comment from his coach when I asked him about him, he said his teammates hate to play against him in practice because he doesn't take days off. Sounds like a future NHLer for me.
Sounds good, Greg. Thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. Really appreciate you coming on today.
Okay, boys. Thanks for inviting me.
Great stuff from Greg Rajan of NHL Central Scouting there. Mike, a lot to unpack there. What stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I'm intrigued by the high school players of this draft class, Adam, and that's why I wanted to discuss that with Greg. And, you know, I spoke to Dan Moore, the director of NHL Central Scouting, recently, and he told me that there is a larger group of U.S. high school players in this draft from the traditional Minnesota and New England hockey markets, and that while many of these prospects would be considered as mid-round considerations, there are some really talented high school prospects with potential to be selected in the second or third round area of the draft. So obviously two defensemen, Greg talked about Wyatt Kaiser of Andover. There's another kid, a right-handed DE and Moore, who's number 47 on Central's list from St. Mark's School in Massachusetts. They've both been highly ranked all season long. And we discussed Blake Biondi, Jackson Kunz of Shattuck St. Mary's in Minnesota have made significant gains. And all these high school kids, you know, most of them, as Greg mentioned, you know, play in the USHL and then they return to their high school teams, you know, for their playoff runs. And they all had, you know, obviously exceptional seasons. And, you know, when you look at a kid like Biondi, who, you know, won the 1920 Mr. Hockey Award in Minnesota, you know, tied for the USHL in goals at the 2020 Minnesota State High School Tournament. And, you know, really a player that, you know, to me, strong skater, powerful stride. I hear a lot of good things on how good he is below the circles, knows how to take the puck hard to the net. And I like those, you know, I like what Greg had to say about Blake Biondi and these high school kids. I'm looking forward to seeing where they're taken in the draft.
Well, that's just, again, that just accents the depth in this draft. So much of what we hear about is the Canadian Hockey League kids, just because they get more publicity, certainly from the Canadian media and from us. But, you know, there's a lot of kids in the USHL, a lot of kids in the NTDP, a lot of high school kids that add to the talent level of this draft. It's going to be something else. It's an impressive, it looks at least right now, like an impressive crop of players. It's going to be exciting to follow them as we move forward here.
Absolutely. What was there anything about this interview that kind of intrigued you, Adam?
I think, to me, you know, you mentioned Blake Biondi, you know, 6 foot, 191 pounds. And so there's room for him to grow. He's going to Minnesota Duluth. That's a great program. He's going to be an exciting kid to watch. I think, you know, all the guys that Raj talked about, you know, Brendan Brisson, you know, that Chicago thing, that Chicago team, three guys in that could go in the first round. That speaks to that development group and what those guys are doing there. And Brisson, we've talked about a lot, you know, the skill level there. You know, Sam Colangelo, he compared it to a James Van Riemsdyk. It's pretty high company. So, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of depth in this draft, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Brendan Brisson, of course, his dad is Pat Brisson, the longtime NHL player agent, and represents Sidney Crosby, among other, you know, players in the NHL. And I remember Brendan telling me stories about having NHL players over his house, you know, Nate McKinnon and Sidney Crosby. And what better way to learn, right, Adam, than have, you know, professional hockey players staying at your house and teaching you how to shoot the puck and where to go. And so Brendan certainly had a pretty good education as a kid growing up.
15-year-olds having sleepover parties with NHL All-Stars. Yeah, that's one way to jumpstart a hockey career. Yep. But, you know, we talked about a lot of the USHL kids today. If you want to hear more, we've done best of the Quebec League, best of the Ontario League, best of the Western Hockey League, best goalies available. If you want to check out some of our previous episodes on NHL Draft Class, the last episode we had newly minted Canadian Hockey League Coach of the Year Andre Tourigny talking about two of his top prospects for the 2020 draft in Marco Rossi and Jack Quinn. We also talked to Jack, who's number 7 on the list, 52 goals in the Ontario League this year, 2nd in the league. So all great stuff, free and available anywhere you like your podcast, NHL Draft Class. Mike, that's going to do it for another week, another great show, more to come.
Great show, Adam. Stay safe, buddy.
Yeah, everybody else, stay safe out there. And for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.